Camera sighed and toyed with the last bites of kangaroo stew. The meat had a pleasantly gamey sort of flavour, not unlike deer, and he had found it at first a very satisfying change from fish after the long sea voyage. But he could only really call it palatable when cooked rare, which did not offer much variety. In stew it became quite stringy and tiresome, especially as the supply of spice left even more to be desired. There were some very nice cattle in a pen which he could see from his vantage upon the harbour promontory, but evidently they were much too dear here for the Corps to provide. And Temeraire, of course, could not propose such an expense to Lawrence, not when he had been responsible for the loss of Lawrence's fortune. Instead, Temeraire had silenced all his mild complaints about the lack of variety. But sadly, Gong Su had taken this as encouragement, and it had been nothing but kangaroo morning and night, 4 days running, not even a bit of dunny.
"I do not see why we mayn't at least go hunting further along," Iskierka said, even while licking out her own bowl indecorously. She quite refused to learn anything resembling polite manners. "This is a large country, and it stands to reason there ought to be something more worth eating if we looked. Perhaps there are some of those elephants which you have been on and on about. I should like to try one of those."
Temeraire would have given a great deal for a delicious elephant, seasoned with a generous amount of pepper and perhaps some sage, but Iskierka was never to be encouraged in anything whatsoever.
"You are very welcome to go flying away any way you like," he said, "and to surely get quite lost. No one has any notion of what this countryside is like past the mountains, and there is no one in it either to ask for directions, not people or dragons."
"That is very silly," Iskierka said. "I do not say these kangaroos are very good eating, because they are not, and there are not enough of them either, but they are certainly no worse than what we had in Scotland during the last campaign, so it is stuff to say there is no one living here. Why wouldn't there be? I dare say there are plenty of dragons here, only they are somewhere else, eating much better than we are."
This struck Temeraire as not an unlikely possibility, and he made a note to discuss it privately with Lawrence later, which recalled him to Lawrence's absence, and thence to the advancing hour.
"Roland," he called with a little anxiety.
Of course Lawrence did not need nursemaiding, but he had promised to return before the supper hour, and read a little more of the novel which he had acquired in town the day before.
"Roland, is it not past 5?
"Lord, yes, it must be almost 6,
Emily Roland answered, putting down her sword. She and Demaine were fencing a little in the yard. She patted her face down with a tugged free tail of her shirt and ran to the promontory edge to call down to the sailors below, and came back to say,
"No, I'm wrong. It is 7:15. How strange the day is so long when it is almost Christmas."
"It is not strange at all," Demaine said. "It is only strange that you keep insisting it must be winter here only because it is in England."
"But where is Granby, if it is so late?"
Iskierka said, prickling up at once, overhearing.
"He did not mean to go anywhere particularly nice, he assured me, or I should never have let him go looking so shabby."
Temeraire flared his ruff a little, taking this to heart. He felt it keenly that Lawrence should go about in nothing but a plain gentleman's coat, without even a little bit of braid or gold buttons. He would gladly have improved Lawrence's appearance if he had any chance of doing so, but Lawrence still had refused to sell Temeraire's talon sheaths for him, and even if he had, Temeraire had not yet seen anything in this part of the world which would have suited him as appropriate.
"Perhaps I'd better go and look for Lawrence," Temeraire said. "I am sure he cannot have meant to stay away so long."
"I'm going to go and look for Granby, too," Iskierka announced.
"Well, we cannot both go," Temeraire said irritably. "Someone must stay with the eggs."
He cast a quick, judgmental eye over the 3 eggs in their protective nests of swaddling blankets, and the small canopy set over them, made of sailcloth. He was a little dissatisfied by their situation. A nice coal brazier, he thought, would not have gone amiss, even in this warm weather, and perhaps some softer cloth to go directly against the shell. And it did not suit him that the canopy was so low he could not put his head underneath to sniff at the eggs and see how hard their shells had become. There had been a little difficulty over them, after disembarking. Some of the officers of the corps who had been sent along had tried to object to Temeraire's keeping the eggs by him, as though they would be better able to protect them, which was stuff, and they had made some sort of noise about Lawrence trying to kidnap the eggs, which Temeraire had snorted off.
"Lawrence does not want any other dragon, as he has me," Temeraire had said, "and as for kidnapping, I would like to know whose notion it was to take the eggs halfway across the world on the ocean, with storms and sea serpents everywhere, and to this odd place that is not even a proper country, with no dragons. It was certainly not mine.
Mr. Lawrence is going directly to hard labour, like all the rest of the prisoners, Lieutenant Forthing had said, quite stupidly, as though Temeraire were allowing any such thing to happen.
"That is quite enough, Mr. Forthing,"
Granby had said, overhearing and coming upon them.
"I wonder that you would make any such ill-advised remark. I pray you take no notice of it at all, Temeraire, none at all."
"Oh, I do not in the least," Temeraire answered, "or any of these other complaints. It is all nonsense, when what you mean is," he added to Forthing and his associates, "you would like to keep the eggs by you so that they should not know any better when they hatch, but think they must go at once into harness and that they must take whichever of you wins them by chance. I heard you talk of drawing lots last night in the gun-room, so you needn't try and deny it. I will certainly have none of it, and I expect neither will the eggs of any of you."
He had, of course, carried his point, and the eggs, away to their present relative safety and comfort. But Temeraire had no illusions as to the trustworthiness of people who could make such spitefully false remarks. He did not doubt that they would creep up and snatch the eggs away if he gave them even the least chance. He slept curled about the tent, therefore, and Lawrence had put Roland and Domaine and Sifo on watch also.